Amen. Good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing? Can I have all y'all stand up? I want to welcome all our visitors and all the campuses around San Diego. I'm so excited. Hope you're excited for the word today. Can I get amen? Amen. Let's lift our hands to the sky. Take a deep breath. Hold it. Another deep breath. I'm going to take two deep breaths. Take a deep breath in, and then you're going to take another deep breath without exhaling, okay? Ready? Deep breath. Hold it. Another one. Another one. Another one. Lord, thank you so much for air. Thank you so much for your breath of life. In Jesus' name, bless us today. Amen. Come on, church. Give someone a high five. Give someone a high five. When you breathe, a lot of times our lungs will go from here to here. A lot of times we only breathe from the top. You just take a little tiny breath. You got to take a deep breath, and you want to get from the bottom, get the oxygen through your body. Amen. Just try it. Just try it. Do y'all feel a little tingle? Wow. Hey, listen. We have some special guests. Y'all from Steel? Oh, I wrote it down. Steel Chapel. Is that right? Can y'all stand up? They're going to Mexico to minister in Mexico. Amen. If you can't see them online, but y'all from Kentucky? I've never been to Kentucky. I got to go to there. Y'all, that's where all the horses are. Okay. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. We're going to Mexico. Here's what we tell groups that are going to Mexico, and usually we go to Mexico and make a big difference. The biggest difference that's going to happen is in you. So pray that God will reveal something amazing to you when you go back to Kentucky. You'll be very thankful that you live in Kentucky. Lord, thank you so much for this group. Thank you for them coming here today. I pray you bless them. Pray that they have an amazing impact on the people they minister to in Mexico, but more so that you would bring radical change in their life as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give them a big hand. Come on, church. One of the things, just before I get into message, I have been doing is praying for people who can't have a baby. And my wife, we were talking the other day, and she met somebody who has a four-year-old child as a result of one of those prayers. And I said, you know, I got to do that Sunday. So I just want to take a minute. Matter of fact, can I get any music? We got a worship guy real quick, real close by somewhere. Just give me a little ding-ding music. A little ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding. If you are trying to get pregnant and you can't, I want to pray for you, anybody online, any of the campuses, and let's let God do something supernatural. He's opened so many wombs in the Bible. Sarah's womb, Rachel, Rebecca, Mary wasn't even a man, gave her a baby. So supernaturally, God gives life. He's a life giver. Can I get an amen? And so what I'm going to ask all of you to do is close your eyes and bow your head and just agree with me in prayer. And if you are that couple, I just want you to put your hands on, hold hands, but the other hand, just put it on your lap and in this position up as though you are receiving something. And there's no magic in this. I'm just asking the God of the universe to bless you. Lord, thank you so much that you are the giver of life. Thank you that you opened the womb of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Samson's mom, Lord, Mary. Thank you that the only reason all of us are here is because you knit us in our mother's womb for 40 weeks. You gave us 33 trillion cells all with the same DNA. And all those cells, DNA, have 3 billion letters. It's a 3 billion letter sentence that is the instruction to make our bodies. It is beyond the imagination of incredible how you did that. And we give you glory and honor. But Lord, there are women listening right now who have been struggling for whatever reason. But it doesn't matter because none of those reasons are bigger than you. So we pray that one, they would in their heart release faith to you and say, Lord, I trust you and I surrender this baby to you. and that you would open wombs as you always do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him a thank of praise. Let's give him a praise. Come on. I've been to prisons. Thank you very much. Oh, I guess it was an invisible man. I've been to prisons all over the country, adult prisons, men, women prisons, juvenile detention centers in the United States and Mexico, Africa, the Philippines, Asia, etc., and talked to countless people in jail. And if you ever have an opportunity to go to a prison legally, like in and out, not you know, go rob something. Pastor Miles told me I had to go to prison, so I robbed the bank. Okay. You'd be amazed what people say, okay? I had an opportunity to talk to inmates in all these kinds of prisons, and you know, murderers, rapists, thieves, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And tell me about their life, tell me about what it's like to be in prison. But I've never talked to anybody in a prison who said that they woke up one day and said, I'm gonna go to jail. That's never happened. They say the opposite. Man, I messed up. I wish I could see my family. I wish I could have a career. The food in here is bad. The air is bad. I mean, it's just a horrible, horrible life beyond what you could ever imagine, living under that stress day in and day out. In the same way, some of y'all are in prison. Now, you may not be incarcerated, you may not be in a cell, but you're in jail. That your marriage is in jail, you just can't seem to figure out how to make your marriage work. Your health is constantly chronic this, chronic that, chronic that. Your thoughts are just poisoning you, beating you down. You look in the mirror and don't like what you see, who you are, what you look like, and everything about your life. Your friends are backstabbing you. It seems like everywhere you turn, you feel like, why don't I just give up? I know when I lose sight of purpose in my life, I feel like just giving up. You know, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. And that's the devil. That's what the devil does. He is a destroyer. And even though you could have all the money in the world, you can live in this beautiful city of San Diego, or wherever it is y'all live, and yet something's still missing. Well, I want to talk to you about one simple thing you can do to change all that. How many of y'all want that? Okay, let me try this one more time. How many of y'all want that? Okay, very good. So here's what I want to do. I want to do something different. If you're saying, whatever it is you're selling, I want it. Whatever it is you're going to tell us to do, I want it. I want you to just stand up. Just let's do it real quick. Just do that real quick. Just stand up if you see. Okay? If you don't stand, I assume you don't want it. Okay? Okay. All right, all campuses stand up. Great, great, great. Okay, you can sit down. Good. I just want to do something better, different than raising your hand. Y'all like, what's he going to say? I don't know if I really want this. It's going to be something really simple. Read your Bible. Read your Bible every day. Don't wait till you come here. And by the way, when you come here, you don't even read the Bible. You're looking at the screen. I'm reading the Bible. That don't count. Very, very simply, here's what I want you to focus on today. Here's what I want you to walk out of here today. I want you to read the Bible every day. Every day. And I'm going to talk about the benefits of reading 4+ times a week, but I want you to read it every single day. I want you to decide where you're going to read it. Just think where you live. Is it going to be, do you have an office, do you have a kitchen, do you have a living room, do you have a car, do you have a tree, do you have a rock, wherever it is, you're going to sit in a garage. Or maybe that's where you live. Well, read in the garage. Where you're going to read, when you're going to read, what time of the day are you going to set a time to have an appointment with God? Well, I read there in my office, I have a couple of chairs, and one of those chairs is God's chair. And then later on, my wife comes and she sits in it. We read together, she sits in God's chair, okay? She's the boss, okay? And by the way, if you're a husband, you are the head of your household. And your wife is the neck, and she can turn you any way she wants you to go, okay? But we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But I want you to decide, when you're going to read, where you're going to read, and what are you going to take notes with? Because if you read and listen, if you read your Bible and listen, if you read your Bible and listen, God will speak to you. This is not a religion where you do rules and all of a sudden one day maybe you'll go to heaven. This is a dynamic relationship that God wants to speak to you. And some of you, he's speaking to you right now. You're like, honey, we've been talking about reading. Honey, he's speaking to you right now. So where are you going to read, what time are you going to read, and what are you going to take notes with? That's what I want to encourage you in today. I have 8 points. I'm probably going to get through 4 today and 4 next week. Number one, regular Bible reading reduces stress and promotes mental health. The American Bible Society found that people who read the Bible at least 4 times a week report significantly lower stress. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Stress. Life is stressful. When am I going to get married? What am I going to do with the wife I got? What am I going to do with the husband I got? How am I going to pay my bills? I can't lose weight. What am I going to do about my job? It's one thing after another after another. And by the way, what the devil does is on top of all that, he is giving you worst case scenario. See, I'm a worst case scenario sometimes guy. Well, something happened. I'm going to go, this is going to happen. I'm going to be out in the street. Oh my gosh. That's the devil. The word of God is what's going to ground you. But the Bible says in Romans 12, 2, it says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants to give you the mind of Christ and actually have you think about things and have a different perspective on your life. But that's going to come from reading the Bible. Because if all you're doing is listening to the garbage online, and by the way, what you see online is not even true. What you see on TV is not even true. It's a slant of what they want you to hear. If that's your input and your friends who don't know nothing either, that's all they're listening to. And if that's your input, you're working, you're trying to make a beautiful house with bad materials. Instead of saying, Lord, and the first thing in the morning before I go out, I am going to read your Bible. Now, some of y'all are night people. How many of y'all are night people, okay? Night owls. I'm a night person. I could stay up all night. But I found that when I read my Bible at the end of the day, I done got beat up all day. It doesn't do you any good. I might have told you a story about multiple times about the tomato frog. I think it's in South America. It's a red frog. And when it gets attacked, gets bitten, it leaks out this white, milky poison all over its body. And that's its defense system. I'm laughing because... So you go, something's chewing it. And the frog's in the predator's mouth. And all of a sudden it leaks it out. And the thing that's eating the frog goes... But the frog is all chewed up. It's too late. That's how some of us are. We get up, we get beat up all day long. And then we say, now I'm going to read my Bible. No, you got to do it in the morning. So now I get up early in the morning. Make the sacrifice. Why? Because he's worth it. Amen. And his counsel is worth it. And his wisdom is worth it. And his love for you is worth it. Number two, regular Bible reading strengthens relationships and marriages. Now, by the way, if you are... single, this still applies to you because I would imagine one day you might be getting married. The Bible says, the Center for Bible Engagement found that couples who read the Bible together are 3 times, everyone say 3 times. Say 3 times. Say tres cosas. No, not tres veces. 3 times. Well, Spanish, I'm sorry. Compromiso. 3 times, they are more likely to be very happy. You ever see couples walking in the restaurant or walking in the bar? Hey, who's that? Oh, that's my wife. That's my wife. How long have you been married? Oh, too long. Yeah. Hey, I got a woman joke. You know, I got a wife joke. It's just they're not thriving. My wife and I pray together. We read together. She'll read 10 verses. I'll read 10 verses. We usually do 3 chapters a day, and then we'll pray. We're very happy. Not all the time. Right? Not all the time. Huh? I don't know if she's saying it. She said, keep it real. Okay. My wife's like this. She's like, you ever see the managers at baseball? You ever see the managers in the baseball? They're like, that's how my wife is. She'd be like. That's all. She don't say nothing. She just give me the, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. The Bible says that the wife is to submit to the husband. Fellas, your woman is supposed to submit to you. Can I get an amen, fellas? You leave me up here by myself, hanging out, just hanging. Can I get an amen, fellas? See, there's a whole bunch of guys in here going, I don't know. I'm not saying amen to that. Bro, just do your thing. You're out there by yourself, okay? The Bible does say that. It says the wives submit to the husbands. But the Bible also says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That means that the guy is supposed to lay his life down for his wife. Ladies, your husband is supposed to lay his life down for you. Can I get amen, ladies? Okay. The Bible is going to help you get a man. There's more to the sentence, so just the Bible is going to help you get a man that's going to do that. How many of y'all meet people and go, oh, he's a dog, he cheated on me, he did this, he did that? Well, he did it before y'all got married. You knew that going in. Oh, she a hoochie, she's this, she's that. You knew that going in. But if you read the Bible and say, okay, check, do you pray for me? Check, do you read the Bible? Check, do you go to church? Do you tithe? We want God to bless our finances. Are you healthy? Are you even gonna live long enough for us to have kids? Have you had a steady job? The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Let the Bible tell you who to marry. Let the Bible tell you how to prepare for marriage. Get godly counsel about your relationship. Because just a few of those questions can make the difference between you getting divorced 2 and 3 times and having a thriving family because of the Word of God. Read the Bible. Number 3, Bible reading increases empathy and forgiveness. Research from Baylor University indicates that the Bible engagement correlates with greater empathy and willingness to forgive. The reason I'm telling you these studies is because the Bible is not proven. The Bible is what it is. But it's man realizing, wow, this stuff is really true. There are secular people realizing that the Bible is true. Now, the secular people don't make the Bible true. The Bible's true. It's us to discover it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. The Bible says if you don't forgive other people, God's not going to forgive you. I'm going to say that really slow because I don't know that we really believe that. If you're not going to forgive Laquita for talking behind your back, God's not going to forgive you. And you may think what that person's doing is a lot worse than what you did. Don't matter. You have to forgive. And I would also bet you this, that there are some of you in here listening or somewhere that your illness today is because of your unforgiveness. You have an illness over here, physical, emotional, mental, that's due to your unforgiveness over here. That's a medical truth. What happens when unforgiveness keeps your body in a prolonged state of stress? This releases excessive cortisol and adrenaline, stress hormones. This is physiology. Here's what God's saying. Your forgiveness and your spiritual relationship with me and other people is going to affect your body. It's all connected. The result is high cortisol levels damage your immune system. High cortisol levels damage your immune system. The more stress and anxiety you carry, the more you're arguing in your head with somebody. Laying in bed. And they're over there having a good night's sleep in their city. High levels of cortisol damage your immune system, increase blood pressure. If you got high blood pressure, it could be you haven't forgiven your dad. Now, when you forgive somebody, it doesn't mean that you approve of what they did. It doesn't mean that you're saying, okay, it's okay what they did. What it means is I'm no longer holding that person responsible to heal my pain. Oh, gosh, I'm going to say that again, because some of y'all are like, I'm going to get them, I'm going to get them, I'm going to get them, and the more I talk about them, the more I argue with them in my mind, the more I'm hurting them. You're not hurting them one bit. You're just hurting yourself. It's therapy to forgive. It's therapy. High cortisol levels damage your immune system, increase blood pressure, cause digestive issues. Some of y'all got that's what I'm saying. Y'all got stomach issues. And you raise the risk of heart disease, which is the number one killer, because you haven't said, I forgive you. Just like that. Effects of unforgiveness, constant stress, weakened immune system, hypertension. Effects of unforgiveness, emotional burden, depression, anxiety, trauma. Effects of unforgiveness, internal bitterness, inflammation, chronic pain, aging. There are people walking around looking like they're 90 years old only because they've just been carrying the burden of anger for somebody. Effects of unforgiveness, hardened heart, spiritual stagnation and separation. Like I said, God is not answering your prayers. You can't hear God. You have no spiritual connection, not because of the worship, not because of the Bible, not because of the word, the sermon, or whatever. It's because of your unforgiveness. And God is like, if you would just say sorry, just let it go. And you really want to go pray a blessing on that person. Oh, I'd rather be mad. I mean, in the emotional, you're walking around like this. Who? Look at all the energy that's taken. You, that will wear you out. Unforgiveness results in unreleased anger, hormonal imbalance, and heart disease. I wonder how many people are dying of heart attacks because they haven't forgiven somebody. So here's what I want you to do. I would imagine there's some unforgiveness in this room. I'm not going to ask you to identify yourself, but I am going to ask all of you, and in all the other campuses, I'm going to ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I want you to listen very carefully, and I'm going to want you to repeat this prayer with me. Let's just all do it so we don't have to rat anybody out. And it's going to be a simple prayer of forgiveness. Just pray this with me out loud. Say, dear God, I forgive. I surrender my bitterness and my anger, my resentment and unforgiveness to you. I am letting it go in exchange for the freedom and peace that you have for me. I receive your forgiveness for my stubbornness in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Come on, come on. Here's what's going to happen. If that's you, here's what's going to happen. In a few minutes, or if it hasn't happened already, 5 seconds, or when you leave here, you're going to hear a small, still voice. But they still did this. That don't change anything. It hasn't changed anything with them, but it's changed everything with you. So don't let the devil lie to you and pull you back into that. And if you start hearing that voice say, I forgive in Jesus' name, I forgive in Jesus' name, and watch how free you will be to go live your life. Amen. Number four, regular Bible reading improves decision-making and self-control. A study done with Harvard University's School of Public Health noted that the spiritual practices like Bible reading are associated with decreased risky behaviors in teens. The Bible says in Psalm 119:11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. People who read the Bible make better decisions based on truth. You don't see people saying, hey, look, a rattlesnake. And those people don't read the Bible, okay? People who read the Bible make decisions based on truth, God's truth. In this series we're gonna do on apologetics, one of these sections of it, several messages, is gonna be on truth and morality. Because we live in a world, definitely in the United States, but in a world where truth is relative. In other words, I got my truth, you got your truth, and I have to give you permission to believe whatever you want to believe and not tell you what my truth is or not impose my truth on you. Now, people do have a right to believe what they want, but it doesn't mean what they believe is true. We all have our opinions. Doesn't mean that it's true. Even if it's your truth, it still can be wrong. And that's a fact. In other words, I believe there was a song, I Believe I Can Fly. That brother was on drugs. He believed it, but he couldn't do it. Can I get an amen? And so you have to understand there is truth and there is non-truth or opinion. The difference is opinion has to do with what I feel. Opinion is internal. It's what I think. I believe I can fly. That's my opinion. Truth is non-contingent on you. And ultimate truth, the Word of God truth, is 100% based not on your opinion, not on your interpretation, not on your feeling, and not on the critic's interpretation. It is 100% based in the character of God that's not contingent on you and me. It's external to you and me. And so when you read the Word of God, what you are reading is God's eternal truth, not based on any circumstance in your life or anybody else's life, and not based on anybody else's opinion. And if you could say, Lord, I'm gonna read the Bible because I wanna know what you say, because you have the ultimate say in, watch this, all things. And every single one of you, here's what the Bible says about you. You're a sinner. Doesn't mean you're a bad person, it means you're not perfect. Amen? Amen. It means that no matter how hard you try, you can never please God. That's truth. The good news is that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us and make a way for us to be forgiven, even though in our own strength we can never be forgiven. That's truth. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you. This is the Word of God. It's truth. No matter what you feel, no matter what whisper you're hearing in your head about how unworthy you are and how God will never answer your prayer, how God will never love you, that's all a lie. So the reason we read the Word is because the Word tells the truth and it can be dependent on 100%. No matter what anybody has done, I remember I've been to those prisons, I told you, and every single one of those guys and those ladies in that prison, no matter what they've done, the Word of God says that he loves them and died for them. We have a gang, well, the police department has a gang conference here every year. There's about 1,000 cops from around the world come here and they listen to ex-Mexican mafia, ex-informants, drug dealers, prostitutes, et cetera, give testimony to these cops about how to interact with gangs. And I get to come and meet these people. It's really fascinating. And I was met with a guy in the back who killed 25 people. Now, I'm gonna tell you, he was a sweet guy, because he really was. He was real gentle and sweet, but he killed 25 people in his past. And he got saved right back there in the room. Why? Because God said, if he repents, I'll forgive him. Is that fair? Just as fair as it is to forgive you. Because none of us deserve it. That's the fact. And so the reason you need to read your Bible every single day is because you can know what is fact and not fiction in your life. So you're not making decisions on things that may not even be factual. You're making decisions on feeling. And so here's my final encouragement to you, then we're gonna pray. That every day, starting today, you would pick that spot. Now I know if you're normally gonna read in the morning, obviously, we're past that time. Still read today. Pick your chair, your Bible, put it out the night before so when you get up, it's right there. What are you gonna take notes on? Is it paper? Is it electronic? Whatever it is, make sure it's there and say, I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna start reading. Just start in the book of John or anywhere, but start in the book of John as one option and just read one chapter. It'll take you 3 minutes, and then read it again. Read it again. Write down what God says to you and say, God, speak to me. And just do it every day. And if you do it every day, you're going to get better and better and better and better. And the day you miss, you're going to be like, I feel exposed. I feel like I'm in a danger zone. And then you go back, get that Bible out. Carry it with you. There are some of y'all in here, you need to know that even though you may not have asked Christ to be your Savior, you pushed him away, the Bible says if you do that, he will leave you alone. And when you die, he will leave you alone. He's not going to save you unless you ask before you die. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's just a fact. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. That's a fact. People die. What do we observe every day? People die. The reason that we have cemeteries is because the Bible's true. Because people die. But the Bible also says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you confess your sin or agree that you have it, he is faithful and just to forgive you. That's a fact. You will never come to God and say, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and him say no. That's not going to happen. And so in a minute, we're going to pray, and you're going to have an opportunity to say, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want God to forgive me. And he will, because that's what the Word of God says. That's why it's so important to read the Word. And even after you get saved, you're going to be wondering stuff about your relationship with God and about his love for you, and it's in the Word. Read the Bible. So I'm going to ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes and listen very carefully. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, I'm so glad we don't have to guess about who you are, what you think, what you believe, what you expect. It's in your word. So I pray that we would read it. And I pray everyone would go home and say, listen, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to watch what happens. But there's some people here today in the other campuses. You need to ask Christ to be your Savior. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer of confession to surrender your life to him. If you would like to ask Christ to be your Savior, in the privacy of your heart, pray this prayer. Pray, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner and that the penalty of sin is death. I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead for my sin. Jesus, I confess my sin. Please forgive me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Viene mi corazón con el Espíritu Santo. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. The Bible also says that if you're ashamed of him before people, God will be ashamed of you. So on the count of three, if you prayed that prayer to ask Christ to be your Savior, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. One, two, three. Stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Very good. Stay standing, please. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to come down to the altar. We're going to pray for you. And we want the rest of us to celebrate these people. If you're in the balcony, you can just turn around and walk up and the ushers will bring you down. So if you're standing up, come on down to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Come on. Come on, church. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Just stand right there. Face me. God bless you. Face me. God bless you. How you doing? God bless you. 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 Come on, church. Let's give them a hand. Come on, church. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let's go, let's go, let's go. God bless you, 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 God bless you. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you, man, this big man. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Come on, little man, come on. God bless you. 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 Let's go. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Y'all come in here. Come in here. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. I want you to imagine you're at Starbucks and you meet somebody new and you start talking to them or at school or at work, and the only way you can get to know them is to spend time with them. So what you just did is you were introduced to God. He wants to get to know you. He wants to guide you through whatever drama you're going through. And he got the solution. He has the answer. He really does. And he is right. He's not kind of right, he's right. If you, the quicker you say, God, whatever you want me to do, no matter how hard it is, the quicker your life's gonna get on track. It's simple as that. The reason you're here is because you know doing it our way doesn't work, and that applies to everybody in here. Can I get an amen? Yeah. None of us can do it. None of us can do this without God. So we're gonna pray for you. Pastor Travis is gonna tell you what to do. Then we're gonna get y'all moving on, but we wanna help you in your relationship with God in your next step, okay? Lord, thank you for all these people. Pray you bless them. I pray they trust you. I pray that we all read our Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.